Definition again from Webster, the word belong. Belong means to be a part of. According to Webster, to be properly or suitably placed or situated, to have a close relationship with. As I headed out west from Lubbock, the sign on some little town out there caught my eye, and it said, First Baptist Church, a place to begin, a place to belong, a place to become. And last week we talked about what does it mean to be a church, a place to begin, and today a place to belong. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, would you open to Matthew's Gospel? Matthew, we'll be in chapter 9, and then we'll flip over to two verses in chapter 11. Matthew chapter 9, Jesus said this. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then over chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus said, Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. As I contemplate Jesus' relationship with people, I'm always overwhelmed with such compassion and understanding and pure love that Jesus showed by his life, and not just his words, but his actions. Jesus ministered and cared like no other. Jesus wanted all people to have this sense of belonging, is the word I would use, a sense of belonging, a sense of being loved right where they were. He offered a place to belong. There are many examples. Let me give you five quickly. Examples of where Jesus intersected with people and he wanted them to belong. In Luke chapter 5, we have Jesus first coming to a man with leprosy, and a few verses later, a man that was paralyzed who was let down in his presence. A leper, one who was totally outcast by society, totally ostracized, really hated by all of those around. A leper, unclean, unclean, they would yell. And this paralytic who couldn't do anything if it were not for his friends who brought him into the presence of Jesus. Those who were sick and those who were diseased, Jesus was always hanging out with. Yes, they were coming to him, but he was not running from them, but going to them. He wanted them to belong. Jesus wanted those with illness and disease. He wanted them to be whole. Jesus touched their lives. But not only did Jesus go to those who were ill and diseased and want them to belong, but Jesus had such compassion on those in sorrow. You know the story. John records it in John chapter 11. Jesus' dear friend Lazarus has died. The word came to him. He delayed and he goes. Now Jesus loved Lazarus. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, three siblings that we have to maybe read between the lines, but it seems that these Jesus were closer to than anyone else. And he goes. And you know, as he stands there before the grave of Lazarus, he begins, the Bible says, to weep. Not just a few tears, but to weep. Did he weep for Lazarus? Or did he weep for Mary and Martha in their sorrow? His heart was so touched. He was filled with compassion because his friends were hurting. Oh, the despair and the pain that death brings to those who remain. And Jesus wanted these sisters to belong. He wanted to minister, and he did reach out to them. Matthew chapter 8 tells of some grown men who were overcome with fear. They were paralyzed with fear because they were stuck in a storm. Jesus got in a boat. They got in the boat, and they go across the Sea of Galilee, which is really just a lake. But in the midst of being on the lake, here comes a storm, and these disciples were scared to death. They thought surely they would die. The boat would capsize. They would die. Jesus, of course, calmed the storm. But more than calming the storm, Jesus ministered to them. These folks were fighting a storm. They were so frightened, overwhelmed, and Jesus calms their storm. But maybe more than that, Jesus was just there in the midst of their storm. They belonged to Jesus, and he belonged to them. And then there's Peter. John tells us some great stories of Peter in chapter 13 and chapter 21. A little insight into Jesus' relationship with this strong-willed, big-mouthed disciple, Peter. I will never deny you. Oh, Lord, I will never deny you. I will stand by you. Though all others desert you, you know I'll be there. And Jesus said, no, you won't. Lord, I've got your back. I've got your back. I've got your back three times. And then he denies Jesus three times. And then at the end of John chapter 21, Jesus comes to Peter. And he asked him three times, do you love me? Yes. Do you love me? Yes, Lord. Do you love me? Was Jesus saying that to antagonize Peter to say, yeah, three times you denied? Was Jesus saying that to guilt Peter, sinner? No. Jesus wanted Peter to know, Peter, you belong to me. He wanted Peter to fit in. He wanted Peter to experience grace and forgiveness. Peter had a sin problem. A sin problem, and Jesus wanted him to belong. Talk about sin. There's Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. Zacchaeus, yes, he needed to begin with Jesus. Zacchaeus' life was just one hot mess. He was just a mess, and he climbs out on the tree, and we love the story we learned and the song we learned as children. Oh, he needed to come to Jesus, and Jesus needed to come to him. Zacchaeus needed to belong, and I believe it was probably the first time he had ever belonged to anybody or to anything. These five texts, and we didn't read the text, you know the stories. Each of these texts remind us that Jesus cared for and had compassion on people. He wanted people to have a sense of being, of belonging. So what about us today? You know, I think it's easy often to read scripture texts, to read about one with leprosy or paralytic, to read about a bunch of disciples on a boat in the Sea of Galilee, or to hear the story again of Peter, or even poor little Zacchaeus. To read these stories and hear the stories and say, isn't that great? We love God's Word. We love to read and to see the history of Jesus moving and making and doing. But so what? How does that impact our lives today? I submit there's no greater need. There's no greater need in our community than for people to belong. People are longing and looking to belong to more than AAA, even more than Rotary Club. They're looking to belong to something even greater than the Baylor Bear Foundation. They are looking to belong to something, to have this sense of belonging. Now, we don't come across leprosy much today, maybe we call it something else. We surely don't deal with the stigma of this skin disease, but oh, look around. We know of so many who are struggling through illness and disease. How many folks this day are filled in our hospitals, or our homes, or our nursing homes, who are fighting and struggling with such long-term disease? Their bodies are wearing out. Long, painful bodies. They hurt every day. How they need to know that someone cares. And that there's a place where they can belong. That there's a place, even with broken bodies, that they are cared for. Yes, that they belong, as surely as Jesus cared for those, that they too can be cared for. Yes, by Jesus, but by people here. Christ in us, caring, helping others belong with illness and disease. And what about those in sorrow? Jesus wept in the presence of Mary and Martha, and Jesus knew that he was going to resuscitate Lazarus, but still he wept for the sorrow of these women. Mary Jane Cessna's here today, and on Tuesday I will officiate the funeral for her son. Brittany Johnson is here, and last Saturday I officiated the funeral of her 35-year-old husband. This week will be my 598th funeral to officiate in my ministry. And when I leave a church setting, or as I leave the funeral home, or I leave a cemetery, I can't help but think of those who are in my rearview mirror. I'm usually the first to leave a cemetery, and families are still gathered. And usually the funerals that I'm doing are family members that I know that there is a church, that there are friends and family, but there is a church that is coming along beside them to support them and love them and hang on to them. But can you imagine just for a moment those countless number of folks who leave a cemetery or a funeral home and have no one? You say, oh, but I read the paper. There's always a preacher doing the service. Fringe at best. Some connection to a church years ago, or a family member who had a connection. But how many? How many in our own community have no one? Where do they belong? They don't have a church that walks with them and carries them and undergirds them and is there to let them know you belong to us. The disciples were on that lake storm. Now, I don't like a storm. Tonight they say there's a chance of storms coming across. I don't like storms, but you give me a weather storm any day over a life storm. Someone has said all of us are either going through a storm of life, or we've just come through a storm, or we're getting ready to go through a storm and we don't even see it. I wonder this morning in this congregation, how many of you know a family member, an individual, a friend, a neighbor, who you would say, I know someone who this day is going through a storm of life? Raise your hand. You know someone who's going through a storm. If you didn't raise your hand, it's because you haven't had time to think. Because they are. In your family, on your street, one of your friends, they are in the midst, or they've just come out, or they're getting ready to go through a storm. Life is hard. Family strife, job crisis, financial stress, teen rebellion, those storms of life, they capsize our boat. Those storms are real. I'm not talking about made up, perceived storms. I'm talking about the real, violent storms of life. And in the midst of those storms, our folks in this community need to know there's a place. There's a place. There's a place. place that cares for me in the midst of my storm. How often I'm afraid, how often the church, rather than being a place where you can become and be in the midst of a storm, you come to the church in the midst of your storm and you dodge darts and arrows. You better watch out for the rocks or the words or the stairs. No, the church must be a place in the midst of life's storms where we go and we're transparent on who we are. As you go through divorce and imprisonment, when that family member is dealing with substance abuse or bankruptcy or teen pregnancy or sexual chaos, the church must be the place to belong. The church that comes alongside of you. We all put on our mask and we sit in our church like we have it all figured out and we suffer alone. Church must be a place. First Baptist Church Lufkin must be a place in the midst of life's storms like Jesus, where we say, come unto us. You who are weary and burdened and heavy laden, Jesus said, I will give you rest. Oh, church, we must be that type of church. Illness and death and life's storms and yes, sin. Peter, we can call it what? Well, he denied Jesus. He didn't understand it. Peter and Zacchaeus as well, they were just sinners. They were folks, two gentlemen who thought their way was better than God's way. Peter thought he had it all figured out. He chose to go his path and refused to listen to Christ himself. He walked with Jesus, but he thought he knew more. We walk with Jesus and we choose our way. Zacchaeus robbed folks left and right. He didn't have a friend, and he probably shouldn't have. He alienated everyone from him. He was a rotten guy. He was just a rotten guy. He was a thief. He was a sinner. You know, we fool some folks, cover up our sin. We know we don't fool God, and we don't fool ourselves. We're all sinners. We're all sinners. First Baptist Church Lufkin must be a place for sinners. Too often the church has become this haven. We've become such Pharisees. We want to go down to the church, to the temple, where we can talk about the Bible and share Scripture and come and pray. And we give this persona that we are such dear saints who have it all worked out, but we know we're not. We know we're not, but we don't want others to know that. No, we are not a haven for saints. We must be a hospital for sinners just like us. A place where restoration and healing happens to the least and the lowest, the lost sinners. Previous church I pastored, a member got in my face, real close in my face, at a meeting and said, Pastor, our church is getting a sorry reputation as a place where a bunch of low-life sinners hang out to do worship and do church, and that's not who we should be, as he tapped me on my head. That's not who we should be. And I took a deep breath, and my voice went real high, and it cracked. And I said, you're wrong. That's exactly who we should be. And he left the church, so we had one less sinner. And I left being pastor, and he came back. Now they have one more sinner. First Baptist Church must be a place for sinners. If someone ever says to us, you know, First Baptist Church, just a bunch of sinners down there, they accept all folks, they're just a bunch of sinners, you say, thanks be to God we are. We don't advocate sin. We're not going to turn our back on sin, but we must turn our face towards sinners. First Baptist Church, a place to belong. As a church, I pray that we will always be a place where people belong. Not always those that look like us or act like us or talk like us. Not those who do life exactly like us. I try not to read too much of Facebook because it'll drive you nuts. But someone in the church was on this week, a member was talking to a friend, and this friend was attacking the church, they said, "You should come to our church. We're not that type of church." And they were saying, "Are you a Republican church? Are you a Democratic church?" This person said, "We're not a Republican or a Democratic." What a good week to say that. "We're not any one of those. We are the church of Christ. And we have our share of Democrats and Republicans, yeas and nays and blacks and whites, and we have it all. Thanks be to God, that's not who we are. And that cannot define who we are. We are a church. We must be a church. A place to belong for all those." And sometimes that makes us feel a bit uncomfortable, and that's all right. If we're to be the church of Christ, the New Testament church, and we began to understand what real New Testament koinonia means, then we will be a place where all belong. Jesus came into contact with all of these folks, those in sorrow, those in sickness, those whose boats were capsizing, those who needed to know, and those who thought they already knew it all. Jesus said, "Come to me." First Baptist Church, a place to begin and a place to belong. And I don't know which one comes first. There are sometimes we have to begin first with Jesus. We begin with Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And then we come into this presence, this place, and we belong. Or maybe there are those who need to first know that they can belong, that they're accepted right where they are without putting on any face, that we accept folks where they are and they begin to know, "I do belong." And it's through that belonging that then they begin their life with Jesus. I don't know which comes first, but I wonder how many of you would say, I've had a beginning and now I need a belonging. You know, we have some great guests, and I don't know if any of our guests are here today. They're perennial guests. They've been guests for one or two or three or 5 years, and we're grateful for you as our guest. Why don't you come and belong? Why don't you officially come and join us? I know there's nothing special about signing a note, and we may bother you a little bit more about giving some more money, but we come be a part of us. I want to challenge us all to not just have a name on a roll, even those who are members who say, "Oh, I belong." Do you really belong? Are you a part of? Are you committed to our church? If you're looking for a perfect church, we're not it. I can give you an address of some who think they are, but we're not one of them. But we're a good church. We're not a perfect church, but we're a good church striving to become better through the power of the Holy Spirit. First Baptist Church Lufkin, a place to begin. Place to begin our walk with Jesus Christ. It's a grace walk. And yes, First Baptist Church, a place to belong. All around us in this community are folks who want to belong. They want to belong to something. They've never really belonged to anything. They're outcasts, they're misfits, their lives are a mess. If they could only find us, or if we could find them, and like Jesus, with eyes of compassion, he looked out and he said, "They're just harassed and helpless like stupid sheep." And Jesus said, "Gather them and come to me." First Baptist, a place to belong. Yes, indeed. Shall we pray? Father, may the words "a place to begin" and "a place to belong" be more than just words. We don't need another theme. We don't need another motto that we put on our stationery. Life is full of too many mottos and statements. And we need our hearts to be touched and changed. There are those today who are overcoming and fighting such illness. They don't know where they belong, and they don't know what tomorrow will bring. They need to know that there's a church in this town that lifts them, that walks with them, that cares for them. There are those in sorrow today who are trying to figure out what life is about without a loved one. They need to know we walk with them, and we will walk with them for a long time. There are those today all around us in life. It's just a mess. Their boat is capsized, and they think they're under the boat, and they think surely they're going to drown. Oh, God, may they know that there's a place in the midst of life's mess where they can belong. And those who are dealing with sin, they know their sin. They know they've missed the mark. They know they've totally messed up, and they think no one would ever accept me. No one would ever allow me to come into their holy huddle. Oh, God, may our holy huddles fall apart. This is a hospital for folks who are sick. We want to tell them how they can be well. We want to walk with them as they experience healing and hope. Jesus paid it all, not some. Jesus on Calvary's cross paid it all that we might belong to Him. And this church, for 135 years now, has been a place for folks to begin and belong, and may we even more so commit to that today. Come to me, Jesus said. May others look at this church, and may they come. May they be welcomed with outstretched arms. Not a perfect church, but a good church, sharing God's grace, is my prayer in Jesus' name.